Love grew where the blood fell. John puts it this way, what manner of love is this? I've never seen anything like this. For someone to die for me, to love me to so, to die so that I can have life. There's no greater love than this. Love expressed itself. And we thank God this morning that through Jesus Christ, we're able to live this morning. The world is celebrating the resurrection, so they say, of Christ today. So they say. But little do they know, little do they know the power of the resurrection. We thank God for this life. We thank God that we're able to live a holy life. We would have been, like most men, miserable. Miserable. If God, if had he not risen from the dead, it would have been hopeless for us. Hopeless. So if you have come in contact with this truth, embrace it. Cherish it. Do all that you can to live for God. Put all your energy into it, because this is one thing that will not and cannot fail. Whatever we do for Christ will last. But I tell you, if you put your energy out there in sin and you fail to live for God, I tell you, it'll be damnable. It's damnable. Damnable. Let us turn our attention this morning. He died to make us holy, not to sin every now and then. There is power in the blood, thank God. Let us turn over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Begin reading for me, please, from verse 21.
But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done.
Continue, please.
Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour, and he returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thou thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit had not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broil fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
That's good. Our topic this morning, the power and effect of Christ's resurrection. The power and effect of Christ's resurrection. He said unto them, verse 32, same chapter.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us
while he
talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Verse 44,
and
45.
Then opened he their understanding.
That's good. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They didn't understand what Jesus had told them while they walked with him. Many things the disciples didn't understand. Many, many, many things. But you know, the one who can open our understanding is God himself. Your attitude is so critical to understand the word of God. The Bible is a very controversial book to the unenlightened. And the many who read it, and many who are, who would say that they're celebrating the resurrection, really do not understand scriptures. For if they understood the scriptures, they would not live an unholy life. They would not live a life of sin, a life of debauchery. They would not go to church on Sunday and live like the devil from Monday to Saturday, and then back to church again on Sunday. That's not the reason. That's not the power of God being lived in the lives of individuals. They went to look for him and they could not find him. Jesus lived a very purposeful life. There's a reason he came on earth 4,000 years, approximately before his coming. Sin and death had sway over the entire human race. Men were in bondage. Satan had robbed man of his God-given privilege. And man suffered under the iron hand of Satan. Suffered misery, woe, heartaches under the hand of the enemy because they had no power. No power of deliverance. From Genesis until the time that Jesus came, there was no man that was able to live holy. The wise man Solomon, he failed. Moses failed. David failed. They had a measure of the Holy Ghost. Okay? It was not given in full measure up until after the after the resurrection of Christ. Okay? And therefore, men failed. Satan became the prince of this world. Satan was enthroned upon the hearts of men, and they could not find deliverance. They could not find deliverance. And therefore, they were, if I may say, in prison, seeking to be free and could not find freedom. But after you have come under the knowledge, come to the knowledge of this truth, do not allow yourself to be in bondage. Do not allow the enemy. Don't give him an advantage. After you've come to the knowledge of this truth, where you can have full deliverance from every spirit that has once had you bound. I mean, deliverance. Do not allow yourself ever to go back to the beggarly elements of this world. During Christ's incarnation, he set up his kingdom. He began his reign of righteousness on earth in direct opposition to the kingdom of Satan. And he toppled the kingdom. He began to topple the kingdom of Satan. The resurrection is the gateway to eternal treasures and fullness of life. An individual who is unregenerated, who does not know God, who is not saved, who has not come under the influence of the Holy Ghost and surrender to it, can never come to fullness of life. Can never come to know what life is. Can never come to know. Turn to, please, to the book of John 11, verse 25. John 11, Gospel of John 11, 25.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Speaking of spiritual life. Read that again, please.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life.
I am the Jesus. Jesus said, hold on a second. Jesus said, I am. Glory to God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He
that believeth in me.
That believeth in me.
Though he were dead.
Glory to God.
Yet shall
he. Though he were dead. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Please. Ephesians 2, verse 1.
And ye hath he quickened and who was dead in trespasses and sins.
Hath he quickened. Glory to God. Who were dead. We were dead in sin. Dead in sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Read that again. You have to quicken. Quicken means make come to life. You have to quicken. Who were dead in trespasses and sins?
Were dead in pastime. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, okay, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
We were dead. There are many who are walking the streets today. And many who are going to church today, they are dead. They are physically alive, but they are spiritually dead. That's what the Bible's saying here. So here, Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and he said to them, and you have the quickened who were dead. They were not physically dead. He's writing to them. You have the quickened who were dead, so they had already been quickened to life. They've already been quickened. They have experienced the first resurrection. Okay? You have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein?
Time past.
And before. In time past. My past life. before I got saved, before I became resurrected, before I was quickened, and time passed. Glory to God. No more. Go ahead.
Ye walked according to the course of this world.
Ye walked. You did like the world did. You spoke like they spoke. You thought like they thought. You acted like they acted. Profanity came out of your mouth. You walk according to the course of this world.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
According to the prince of the power of the air, meaning the devil. According to the prince of the power of the air.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Go ahead.
Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past.
Oh, Lord.
In the lust of our flesh.
You can't say you're saved and your conversation is not holy. Your conversation has to be holy. You can't be talking about men and women having this and doing that. No, that's a conversation of the world. When you're in company with the world and they begin to talk about their dirty conversations, it's time to take a walk or remove yourself from the company. I'm not saying for you to not be nice about it. Okay? But over time, after a period of time, people ought to know that you don't involve yourself in certain conversations. Excuse me, I don't talk about Kenny. Please, I don't want to talk about this. There's nothing wrong with that. And they say, why not? No. Depending upon the environment and who you're with, whether people ask you questions because they want to debate or if they want to really find out, it's up to you to be wise enough to be able to detect and to discern where is this question coming from? Where is this originating from? It's up to you to find out whether Jesus knew when they asked him certain questions, whether they really wanted to know, whether they wanted to debate, or they try to corner him. He was able to discern that. So we need to ask God wisdom to help us when we deal with people, give us wisdom how to answer them. Back to the book of John 11:25.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead,
glory to God,
shall he live.
Oh, glory to God. Though he were dead, glory to God. That's the power of God. There is no man that can resurrect himself. There is no man that can quicken himself. Look, without God, life without God is just a hopeless disappointment day after day, week after week, year after year. There is a continual search. Without God, there's a continual search for happiness. But if people look for happiness in fashion, they look for happiness in a nice car, they look for happiness in a mansion, they look to increase their bank account. But you cannot find happiness. You cannot find joy in the material things of this life. This is why I just am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. An individual in sin is dead, though he is physically alive. He's physically alive, he's breathing, but he has no spiritual life. And his fruit, his actions, meaning his fruit, are the fruits of evil, the actions of evil. But you cross the sinner the wrong way, there's going to be backlash. There's going to be revenge. I'm coming back. Don't forget what you told me. I'm coming back. A friend of mine said, look, revenge is a dish served cold. But we thank God that Jesus laid his down, laid his life for us. He laid it down, thank God. Whether we could not pay this debt that we owed, but thank God he paid the debt for us. We thank God for the love of God. Love grew, love grew where the blood fell. Brethren, all of us, we were hopeless. We thank God today that we have hope. Thank God for hope. If we hadn't had this hope, we'd have been like most men, miserable. But I remember the times of my own misery. seeking for happiness in the things of this life, in the things of this world, and could not find it. But there was a void trying to satisfy a void within me, and I just could not satisfy it. It didn't matter what I did. You see, the sinners go out there look for fun and have a good time. All right, your good time is over tonight. What about tomorrow? You're dry and dry as a prune and looking for something, for some kind of upliftment. You're looking for an upliftment. Some people try to escape reality. They just drink their lives away. The marriage doesn't work. The boyfriend-girlfriend relationship doesn't work. Nothing works. But you look at our celebrities. People are looking for money. They want to be like the celebrities. They want to have the nice cars. But then they got their problems. Look what Will Smith did the other day. Money doesn't look. Well, it doesn't matter how much money you have. How you walk up to a man in front of a great audience and boom, wow. Hold on a second. And then you're going to say, I'm sorry. No. It was in the heart. That's why you did what you did. But the man cannot control himself. They cannot control themselves. They cannot control their tongue. They cannot control their actions. How many people are incarcerated today because they could not control their actions? And then, no doubt, bury their head in their heads. Man, what is wrong with me? What have I done? We were all there. How many women today are battered? I mean, beaten up by their husbands. Man can't help himself. Doesn't matter how moral they are. Doesn't matter how moral they look when they act. Oh, begin to push their buttons. You see what kind of reaction you get. As small as a squirrel is, you get that squirrel in the corner, you're going to find out that squirrel is not as small as you think he is. It will chew you up. You just corner him where he can't get out. Man, just the same way. But I tell you, Jesus was cornered. Look at his reaction. Oh, he was cornered. Oh, they put him there and then they smacked him in the face. They smote him. But what was his reaction? Read so that we can learn to be like him. His reaction, he did not retaliate in kind. He did not retaliate. What came out of his mouth was yet godly. His action was godly. That's the power of the resurrection. When God resurrects an individual from a dead state, when a person gets saved, he gets resurrected. That's the first resurrection. There is, the Bible talks about a second resurrection. Verse 26.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Bless the Lord.
Believest thou this?
Whosoever liveth, whosoever has come to new life, he that had the Son had life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Talking about spiritual life here. Spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. I tell you that these Sadducees try to refute Jesus' teaching on the resurrection. They tried. They didn't believe. Even the disciples when he died, the Bible says they went back to the fishing nets. What happened? You didn't understand. You didn't understand what Jesus is telling you all the while. Be careful, brother. Welcome to the house of God. And we don't understand. We need understanding. We have an inexhaustible storehouse of spiritual grandeur here and a heavenly glory. Glory to God. Brother, let's not take this and read it. Pass the moment, just read to say that I read. No, it's way more than that. The word Jesus told him, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life. Amen. This is life. When you begin to apply, when Jesus comes into your heart and you begin to apply the word of God to your heart, you begin to allow the word to possess you, the spirit of God to possess you. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Brother Jesus toppled the kingdom of the enemy. And when we accept Christ in our lives, brother, the power of sin is broken. I said broken. God cannot save you and you continue your past life. That's a damnable doctrine, but you are only going to live what you're taught. And if you're taught, you can sin every now and then and go to heaven. Well, that's a damnable doctrine. That is not a biblical doctrine. We got to be careful. We don't read the Bible, and you've come to knowledge of the truth, and you don't live the truth. That puts you in the same condition as a sinner man outside. The Bible must be lived. There's power in God for us to live. He would not demand something of us without having given us the power to do it. It was necessary for Jesus that Jesus be raised from the dead. It was necessary. Well, we just read a while ago in the book of Luke, didn't we? Back to Luke 24. Read for me, please, verses 46 and 47.
And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer.
It behooved
and
Christ
to rise from the dead.
It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead.
The third day.
Go ahead.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
See? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached preaching his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? Read for me, please, 48 and 49.
And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
The promise is the Holy Ghost. I send the promise of my Father upon you.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
Until you be endued with power from on high.
Praise God. Tarry until in Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Brother, we're not just speaking words. We're not just speaking words. God has such miraculous deliverance for us. If we would just submit to his word. We're not coming to church just for the sake of coming to church. We're readying ourselves for eternity. I mean, for eternity, we're in our probationary time. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. Read for me, please. John 5, verse 28, 29.
Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave
shall hear his voice. Listen. The Bible says the hour is coming. The hour is coming. Go ahead. In the which
all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
This is the word of God. I did not make this up. In the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Go ahead.
And shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life,
right?
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
So there is going to be the second resurrection. The Bible says all that are in the graves. The Bible also says in Revelation, every eye that pierced him, everyone that pierced, they shall see him. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection what? Of damnation. So if you live holy, you will remain holy. That's why the Bible says in Revelation, he that is, you cannot die a sinner and be a saint in the end. However you die is the way you remain. You die a sinner, you remain a sinner. You die a saint. A saint is a person living holy. And I'm not talking about holy today and you're unholy tomorrow. No, a saint is one who lives holy continually. Amen. Whose intents and whose motives are right all the time. This is why you must be like Jesus. He said, Jesus says, I do always those things that please the Father. Always. Is it possible in 2022 to live such a life? Yes, it is. We serve God within our spirit. Look, we are governed by what we believe. If you talk wrong, you're going to live wrong. It's not how you think that scripture is. No, what does God say in scripture? The scripture is not on any private interpretation. It's why you need the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says in Luke 24. Then he opened unto them, he opened their understanding. How is it we can all understand the scripture the same way? It's the Holy Ghost that does that. When an individual submits and surrenders and forsakes his past life, then God is obligated. That's his responsibility. It's not his will that any man perish. Nobody. But he's not going to force you. He will not force you to do anything. This is willing service. I want to serve God. I want to do right. I want to walk in his will. I want to know his will. I want to understand the word the way he wrote it. Bible says God used holy men to pen his word. It was not their mind that they penned. They penned the mind of God. They were divinely influenced under the inspiration of the Almighty. They lived so close to him under God's inspiration. This way, the word of God is inspired. It's an inspire. It's inspirational. You cannot understand this just because you read it. No. It doesn't go like that. No. Bible says that he opened. This is why we need to ask God, Lord, open my understanding. Please help me to understand. We need to pray for understanding. Let us turn over to Hebrews 7, 17. Hebrews 7, 17.
For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
See, it was important that he be raised from the dead. We'll just get to that scripture 1 second, please. It was necessary. He was a priest, go ahead. After the order of Melchizedek, 7:17.
For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Continue, please.
For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament.
By so much was Jesus made a surety, a guarantor of a better testament. Go ahead.
And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death.
See, their priesthood died. Their priesthood ended when they died. But not Jesus' priesthood. Not Jesus' priesthood. Okay, go ahead.
But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also
Right there. But this man, glory to God, we're not talking about any man. We're not talking about an ordinary man. But this man, Jesus, this man, but this man, because he continueth ever
and
hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore
he is able also to
bless the Lord because of his unchangeable priesthood. Bible says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. It says here, because he continued ever has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to what?
The uttermost that come unto God by him.
Uh-huh.
Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Praise God. Why do people fail? Because they don't surrender to God. That's why they fail. Why are people still miserable? They have not surrendered to God. Why are people still unhappy in our world today? They have not surrendered to God. The Bible says he has an unchangeable priesthood. His priesthood is after the similitude of Melchizedek. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Keep reading, please.
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Isn't that wonderful? Someone to make intercession for us? Amen. That means when you go to him, you come broken. You come humble. You come contrite. God knows if you're humble. God knows if you're broken. God knows your spirit. He knows your attitude. He knows if you come, I come destitute before you, Almighty. Lord, without you, I cannot do anything right. I cannot speak right. I cannot act right. I cannot do right. I cannot behave right. Lord, I need your help. I'm willing to do right. I'm willing to do what you say. Brother, God will intercede on your behalf. There's an attitude we got to have. We have to recognize that we are insufficient. Not just say it with your mouth. If you recognize you're insufficient, and that you need God, you're not going to react towards people any kind of way. You're going to have the fear of God upon your heart. Every time you interact with people, you have the right attitude, the right spirit, the right disposition. That's the power of God. How are people going to know you're a Christian? How are they going to know? How are they going to know? Even if you don't open your mouth, how are they going to know? They're going to watch how you live. So this person is different. Man, he acts differently. Wow. Wow. Man, this guy's not eyeing up the girls up and down. Wow, it's different. This young lady not going after the men. Wow, she's different. She doesn't answer people that way. Oh, wow. She's not snotty. Wow. She's calm and collected. Wow. She's reserved. Wow. Her dressing so modest. His dressing so modest. He's not wearing the tight pants. This guy's different. Why is his shirt not open up? This guy's different. Why come a nice young lady pass by? He doesn't do that. This guy's different, but he's not a sissy. How come he doesn't do that? Oh, he loves the Lord. Glory to God. He loves the Lord. He wants to please the Lord. And therefore, he has eyes for nobody. If he's not married, he has eyes for nobody but the Lord. If he's married, he has eyes for nobody but his wife, and vice versa. But when the Lord, look, we're talking about a changed life here. When Christ comes into your heart, into your life, he changes your outlook. He changes everything about you. There is no greater enjoyment in life to serve God. How can you explain at the age of 22 the Lord saved me? Sometimes I marvel what God can do. At 22 years of age, from the night that I prayed, I've been a different man ever since, left the world. How do you explain that? It's a miracle. Every one of you. He changes your speech, your conduct, your conversation. I mean, all it, your outlook, your disposition, your aspiration, your motivation. Everything about you is different. Where you used to go, you don't go there anymore. The way you used to act, you don't act that way. Your reaction to the same thing that used to bother you. I don't react that way anymore. There's something that was very irksome, and you would act you would show your colors. Oh, thank God. My colors are Christ. Amen. Holiness. Holiness. We have an unchangeable priesthood, thank God. Unchangeable. This is the power and the effect of the resurrected Christ. Glory to God. When he comes into your life, he makes you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Brother, he even changes your clothing, glory to God, because you love him. You're going to dress in a way that pleases him, that represents him. And you're not going to want to show off anything either. It doesn't matter whether you got it to show or you don't have it to show. You're not going to want to show it. And the young men are going to show off their muscles with the tight shirts. You know, these guys, they work out, they got the tightest shirt, like it's skin tight. They want to show you every definition of the muscles they're working on. You won't want to do that either. That's all carnality. You're not trying to impress. But the saints of God are not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to impress no woman, impress no man. No. It's not about that. We don't dress to impress. I'm not saying you shouldn't look nice, but I'm not dressing to impress anybody. You should look nice. You smell good. Glory to God. We're representing the Lord. Amen. Okay, we got a God. We have a gospel to represent. And we're going to do our very best to do it. Don't tell me you're a Christian. You're cursing people every now and then. I just can't take this guy. I just can't take this girl. Who she thinks she is? No. We don't have a person who's saved does not have a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of envy. We don't have a malicious spirit. When God saves a soul, he changes you. Amen. The spirit you once had, glory to God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can annihilate every spirit of evil. I said every spirit. But we thank God you don't gamble anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't smoke anymore. And not only that, but you get rid of the spirit of smoking, the spirit of drinking, the spirit of lotto, whatever it is, gambling, bingo, you name it. Amen. Get rid of the spirit of it. That's the difference between an individual who's a sinner and an individual who's a saint. The sinner may be able to stop something through willpower. You can't get rid of the spirit of it. This is why every now and then he reverts back to smoking. Every now and then he reverts back to maybe he stopped the lotto for a year. Every now and then you get a mega miss. Man, I almost missed this. I got this. Every time you tell somebody they have a number, oh, I gotta go play this number. Oh, we don't do that. Glory to God. We stop that. You don't do that. A lotto spirit. I tell you, you know how many lives are destroyed by the gambling spirit? You know how many lives are destroyed? Where you go to OTB? You pass by, you see all those people standing there. All they do is gambling away, gambling their hard-earned money away. And they win $1,000, and they know you just lost $5,000. You won $1,000. They just poor. All those poor people there just gambling their money away, giving it away. We thank God for the gospel. Amen. Hebrews 5, verses 5 and 6, please.
So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Keep going, continue.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, mm-hmm. and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he made the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
See, did you hear? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? That obey. Hold on. Obey what? The word of God. This is too hard for me to do. Really? That's because you don't want to surrender. That's all. There's nothing hard. The Bible says yoke is easy. There's nothing hard. When an individual is surrendered, there's nothing hard. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Verse 10.
Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Call of God and high priest. Everyone before the Holy Ghost was fully given, every man was held under Satan's sway. Every man. We're living in a day today where the spirit of unbelief is so prevalent in our day. It runs rampant, the spirit of unbelief. In the days of Christ, the spirit of unbelief was yet alive because the religious leaders of his day did not believe him, though he performed miracles, though he opened the blind eyes. They did not believe him. Why? Because he said he is God. He's the Son of God. And they call him blasphemous because he equated himself with God. Even though he performed miracles, they even said it. No man could do these miracles. No man. But yet they still did not believe. The spirit of unbelief is still rampant today. What a miracle for an individual to be saved. What a miracle it is. You mean to tell me young men, young women could be saved and not give themselves over to the mess out there? Yes. It's possible today. It's whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, you cannot get it. But if you want it and you went to obey the word, glory to God, God will help you live holy. I tell you, he was raised from the dead to effect our salvation. The Bible says he had an unchangeable priesthood. Read for me, please. 1 Corinthians 15. 15, verse 12.
Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Hold on 1 second. Now, you see? Even the Corinthians had a problem with that. How say some of you there is no resurrection of the dead? Continue, Bruce.
But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?
Do you realize, brethren, if Christ had not risen, we, our faith, what we're doing here is in vain. Let's go back to what we're doing. Let's go back to the lows and let's go back to what we were doing. Had he not resurrected, would have had no power to defeat the enemy. He had dominion over Satan, defeated Satan, defeated death, defeated the grave, and we can also, glory to God, by his power. We have, by the way. Go ahead.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised?
So if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Brother, we were raised from the dead. Glory to God. Amen. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and were raised from the dead. Well, how you know somebody's dead? Look at their actions. Turn on the radio. Turn on the radio. You hear all the crimes being committed? They're dead. They're dead in sins. They're dead in sin. When people have altercation out in the street, they're dead in sin. When people open their mouths, it's foul. Foul language. They're dead in sin. You can't be a Christian and have a foul mouth. No. And you're not going to hold your tongue and try not to say it. It's from the heart. The Bible says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, theft, murder, fornication. Out of the heart proceed everything evil. Continue, please.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
Thank God for the power of the resurrection. Amen. Thank God for the resurrected life of Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Verse 18.
Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
That means if Christ was not resurrected, then those who served him and fell asleep. So when it's fell asleep, meaning they died. Well, fell asleep, what? They perished. Okay? Go ahead.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ.
Oh, glory to God. This is it right here.
We are
if
of.
In this life only. If while we're down here in this fleshly form, if only in this life we have hope. Brother, this is why the scripture was, we read the scripture at the very beginning. See, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. Look, you'll never die. You will live forever. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brother, the majority of people are miserable because why? They have not Christ. People get up in the morning. They take care of themselves. They groom themselves. And then they go out, do what they have to do, and come back, live the way they got to live. They say, I'm going to do me. They do themselves. They don't think about God, not realizing there's the Almighty that looks on. He looks on when he has made provision for you and I to escape hell. But we don't, people really understand what hell is going to be like. Jesus, this salvation, brethren, is not, it's free, but it cost God the death of his dear son. I mean, when you read the Gospels and you read what Jesus went through for you and I, to know that he was on the cross, brother, we get a little splinter, we're ready to cry. I said, a little splinter in your foot or your hand, or you just, by the way, just stepped on something at the shop, and man, you can't even walk. Never mind being suspended by your weight. Come on now, come on, listen to me. To throw Jesus away. I don't want anything to do with that man. I want to have my fun. I want to have my pleasure. I want to have my boy. I want to have my girl. To know that he went to such length and depth for you and I. Suspended, nailed on the cross. He was suffering. He suffered the whooping. Cat of nine tails, a whooping. And every time they whooped him, flesh left his body to know that he suffered. My Lord, to be on that cross. And then they hammered. No doubt, I'm sure he didn't scream. Just held it. And then his weight suspended and had to breathe. Brother, do you know how excruciating that is? Excruciating. And to say, I still want to have my fun. I still want to sin. You know what I mean? You just don't understand what he went through for you and I. Every time you sin, you crucify him afresh. Afresh. And to know that he went through all this because he loves you and I. He's trying to get you and I to make certain that we escape hell. I tell you, there's a life to live, brethren. This Christian life is a life to be lived. And we have to live the standard of holiness. It's not just to come to church. My God, we thank God for the power of God. Thank God for the power of God that can revolutionize your life. We don't just talk Bible, we want to live Bible. Verse 20.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Keep going.
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Amen. Keep going.
For as in Adam all died.
As in Adam, because of the sin of Adam. I said before, because of the sin of Adam, from that time, humanity was held under the devil's sway, under Satan's sway, and had no power to overcome. The devil had full dominion. But thank God we today can reign over sin in this mortal life. And we look for this corruption one day. When I say corruption, meaning this body, this flesh, we look for when this corruption will put on incorruption. When this body will, see, this Bible says, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. So the hour is coming. There is going to be the general judgment. The Bible says the sinners are condemned already. But those who think you're going to heaven, oh Lord, you say you're saved. And God forbid that you have an evil attitude. You say you're saved and you think you're going to heaven. I don't even want to say you're going to be surprised. Do you realize before man dies, he knows where he's going? Before anybody dies, don't worry, he knows where he's going. Continue, please.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
Verse 24.
Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
25.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. 26.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Praise God. Do you know he had power over death? And because he had power over death, we also have power over death. But the grave could not keep him. When they went to look for him, the Bible says, he is risen. He's not here. When they thought they had him, brother, the greatest event in history, they thought they had him. Brother, he had dominion over death. He had dominion over the grave. He broke the bars of death. That could not keep him. The Bible says that he could not see corruption. Oh, talk about power, glory to God. He destroyed the victory of the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's the power we have in God, where we can reign over sin, over the devil in this life. You cannot go to heaven if you don't reign right here. It's impossible. Brother, I'm talking about reigning over every spirit of evil. Every spirit of evil. The spirit of lust, the spirit of fornication, spirit of adultery, spirit of smoking, spirit of lying, spirit of cheating, variance, emulation. So there's all kinds of spirits. There's thousands, legions. The saint of God can reign over every spirit, thank God. Reign over pornography spirit, homosexuality spirit, lesbians, you name it. Whatever spirit, reign has no dominion. No dominion whatsoever. That's the power. There is a God, the power. Christ triumphant, resurrection over the grave. Glory to God. He broke the very bars of death. Read for me, please. 51, same chapter. Read from verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, mm-hmm. but we shall all be changed.
Listen, sleep means death. Okay? Speaking to the church, I'm showing you a mystery here. We shall not all sleep. but we shall all be changed. Go ahead, please.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
So fast.
At the last
trump. Listen. At the last trump. No, not this trumpet that's being blown now. Well, he's going to say, come forth. Okay? At the last trump, when God will call every man. Go ahead. At the last trump. Go ahead.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Amen. The dead shall be raised incorruptible.
And we shall be changed.
We shall be changed. The brethren, keep your experience on fire. Do not allow yourself to stagnate in God. Keep your experience. I'm telling you. We thank God for the hope that we have. The hope of being with God one day. But if in this life, when we go through in this life, it gets so good down here. And we can enjoy ourselves in God and down here. Oh, what will it be like? Glory to God. But singing and praising God all day long. But we rejoice right now. We enjoy God now. Brother, it's at times we just cannot, don't know. We have not words to express what's going on the inside. Well, how sweet it is to know that your conscience is right. To know that your mind is holy. To know your mind is pure. To know you have not done anything wrong. Your conscience testifies to that. That you're holy. You keep the word of God. Oh, what blessed assurance. What blessed confidence a man has in his soul to know that you're living in accordance with the word of God. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Saints of God, keep the victory. If you don't have the victory, get the victory. Keep going.
For this corruptible,
this flesh, this corruptible,
must put on incorruption.
And this mortal
must put on.
Amen, brother God. We're gonna have to have a new body. A new body. This body cannot enjoy, will not be able to contain the glories of heaven. So look. Those in hell will also have a new body. Go ahead, please.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written.
Amen.
Death is swallowed up.
Glory. Glory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. But death cannot keep you. But the saints of God are not afraid of death. We fear not death. Brother, the saints of old used to welcome death because they lived in such a circumspect life. This is what we're waiting for. The redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're living for. This is why you got to be careful of your attitude. You can't be having a little attitude that's not godlike. Look, it doesn't matter whether you're 13-year-old or claiming salvation, or you're 17 or 20-year-old. How can you not love the brethren? What? If you don't love the brethren, that means you're living in death. The Bible says that. It says that death is swallowed up. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God for our King. Amen. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55.
O death, where is thy
sting? Amen. Death, you got no power over me. Glory to God. O death, where is thy sting?
O grave,
where is thy victory? Look, religious folks don't understand what that is. If you're religious, that means you're living, but you're denying the power of God. You're denying the power. Why? Because you're not living right. Coming to church to appease your conscience. That's not why God wants us to come to church. He says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Why? We come to church because we come to fellowship. We come to know more of God. To be with the people of God. Fellowship is in the spirit, by the way. It's in the spirit. If any man be Christ, he's what? A new creature. We come to the new birth. We come into the kingdom through repentance. By the forsaking of our past life of sin. We come to God with the mind to forsake, that the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. You have to abandon your past life completely. God cannot save an individual if he's not tired of sin. As long as you want to keep having your fun in sin, God cannot save you. As long as you want to keep doing some of the things in sin, God cannot save you. And look, and if you're claiming salvation, though you might have just gotten saved, and there seemed to be a little affinity to the world, look, God cannot sanctify you like that. When God saves an individual, the individual makes a complete turnaround from sin to holiness. You're going a complete opposite direction. I'm going away and sin this way. But when you come in contact with God and you repent, you forsake your life, you're going in the up, you're going against the entire current. You can't have an affinity for the fashion of this world. You can't have an affinity for the tattoos of this world. Everything you got to forsake. Not some things. You can't have an affinity to the entertainment world or the music of this world. Like sometimes I drive my car, it's summertime, the blasting music, and all you hear is profanity and profanity. Do you think Jesus would listen to that kind of music? What kind of music do you think Jesus would listen to? Huh? Next time you listen to music, if it doesn't promote your spirituality, it's time to turn it off. We listen to things that's going to help promote our spirituality, not gospel rock that has a tendency to get me to shake my body. No, we don't do that. Thank the Lord. No. You watch your children. You watch your children, your little ones. There's something in within them. Once they hear a beat, they start to shake. It's in them. Because they got a nature in them. And that nature is just acting up. And this is why you got to teach them. If you don't teach them, you're responsible for them. You don't teach them, your soul's in trouble with God. But you got to be careful that we don't compromise the word of God. We can be claiming salvation. We compromise here and there. God knows if you're compromising the word. You cannot meet heaven if you compromise the word of God. Ananias and Sapphira compromised. And what happened to them? God knows if you're honest, really honest to the core. God knows whether you're dishonest. He knows how sincere you are. He knows how contrite you are. He knows whether you really want this. He knows whether you really want this marriage to work. He knows if you're putting 100%, not 50%, 100% in your marriage. He knows it. He knows whether you love your wife or whether your wife loves her. He knows it. Hey, you don't love your spouse, I'm sorry. I mean, you're not going to heaven. Because the Bible says, love her. Love your own body. It's the word of God. We're not going that route, but it's what it says. It's all too quiet on me with that. It says here, read for me, please, Matthew 5, verse 28. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5:28.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
Look, that's the word of God. That is the word of God. I did not make this up. I'm not that wise. But this is the power of God that can help us to do this. That's the power of God. How is that possible for me to love my wife as my own body? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. back to 1 Corinthians. You see that? First Corinthians 15, verse 57, about 56 and on down.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God.
1 second. The sting of death is sin. Let that sink in. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. And the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Continue.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our victory is through Jesus Christ. Through no one else but Jesus Christ. There is no way a man can live this life without having surrendered totally to God. Many live in intellectual. Oh, I know. I believe God. I've met so many people that say, oh, I know God. I believe God. But you're not serving him. You're not doing everything he says. I believe God. That's not going to take you to heaven. If you believe God, belief is to obey. To obey the word. That's what, if you say you believe God, that's why Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Is that right? That quote, that scripture, right? Give me 1 second. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth, though he were dead, that means saved. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he quickens us. Thank God. Verse 58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast.
Look, in other words, I'm coming to a conclusion here. I'm saying to you, finally, listen, therefore, seeing these things are going to happen to us, seeing that there's going to be a resurrection, seeing that we're going to be changed. In other words, do not allow yourself to regress. Therefore, brethren, therefore, my beloved brethren, those of you who I cherish, Paul saying, therefore, please, therefore, knowing these things are going to come to pass. But if you knew that you're going to die tonight, do you know how many people will run and get saved? No man knows. No man knows when he's going to draw his last breath. Neither does he know when Jesus is going to come. The Bible says his coming will be like a thief in the night. Thief does not announce his coming. That's why the Bible says they shall say peace and safety. Everybody's think everything's okay right now. Do you think the people World Trade Center when the plane life was going on as usual? Same way. Life continues as usual. We're making plans. We don't know if our plans will ever materialize, come to fruition. We don't know. But we need to live in a state of readiness all the time. When my heart, my conscience, my attitude, everything is right before God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, seeing these things are going to come to pass. And in 1 Peter, it tells us knowing these things shall be. What manner of persons? Only all the elements will melt with fervent heat. What manner of persons ought you to be in all conversation? Man, there's such a way we ought to live, knowing that there's going to come a time where I'm going to be judged. There's going to be a time. We're living probation every time right here. We have a chance to make heaven right now. Every one of us. Everyone had the same opportunity. But we're making decisions, though. You're making decisions every day. The decisions you make are going to determine where you end up. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what are we to do? Be ye what?
Steadfast.
Ah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye. What a command here. Be ye steadfast. Fixed. Because David says, my heart is fixed. Fixedness of heart. I am resolute. I'm going to continue in this way. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not going to deviate. I'm going to keep my momentum going. I'm not going to slow up. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to allow my spirit to change. I'm not going to allow anyone to affect me negatively for me to miss my goal. Be ye steadfast.
Unmovable.
Oh, my. Unmovable. Brothers, listen, get a thick skin. Don't allow people to affect you. Doesn't matter what they say, what they do, how they act. It doesn't matter. Don't allow anything to affect you. I mean nothing. Don't allow your circumstances to affect you. We all will have some difficulties in life. Every one of us will go through difficulty. Every one of us is going to be disappointed about something sometime. There's disappointments in this life. What I was looking to happen, look, we're human. Things happen. Maybe you might get into a car accident. Anything can happen. But don't let anything affect you. Stay steadfast, immovable. Don't allow distractions to move you from your goal. Stay the course. Too many people start out. Too many people. Because they fail to consecrate and die out to themselves. You know, this is why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified. In other words, the carnal man, the Adamic nature, is on the cross dead. The old man I used to be is gone. I have so dealt with every spirit in my life in such a way where it doesn't matter what people say or do, I will not allow it to change me in any way whatsoever. I'm crucified, meaning my life, my time, my talent, my energy, my needs, my hands, my feet, everything I do is to glorify the Almighty. And I do it because it is the will of God. Be steadfast, unmovable. What else?
Always abounding.
Therefore, make sure that you're always abounding. Make certain that you stay. What a command! What a command! He's our captain, and we're following him. And he's giving us a command. Yes, sir. Be ye. Paul here is writing. This is a word of inspiration here. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that true in your life? Or your own interest seems to be paramount? Your own interests supersede God's interests. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain.
Brother, that is so comforting. So comforting. Our labor is not in vain. Brother, we have been here. I've been here for over 3 decades. I've been to so many funerals the short time I've lived on earth. So many funerals. Very few funerals I've been to where such a beautiful legacy was left behind. Very few funerals. But we can leave a good legacy behind. We can leave such a good legacy where someone can speak of us and say, I am certain. Even though you can never be certain, but you can have a certain confidence. You can have a certain confidence. This individual has gone on home to be with the Lord. Even though we don't know what at the very last hour when Jesus was on the cross, they would say, hey, you could do it. Well, why don't you save your own self? Right on the cross, he was up there. And he still, the devil didn't stop. Same way with you and I. Same way with you and I. When we're about to draw our last breath, we got to make certain we keep the right spirit and the right attitude. I hear of people, maybe the nurse didn't take care of them and they were in a hospital bed or whatnot. And and they just leave them, and they leave them in their urine or whatever. God forbid. But still got to have right attitude even in that. Even in that. You may not be able to do it for yourself, but you're fully aware of what's going on. You're fully aware. You can't hear it, but you're just not able to move. And you know, and they know. You can see, maybe you can't move. You still got to have the right spirit. Even in that state, God help us. Be steadfast. And our time is narrowing down. Let's go over the book of John, please. John 10:10. Oh, what wonderful experience. What wonderful provision has been made for us. What wonderful provision. May we not neglect, may we not reject it. Just throw it away. I've heard this gospel before. Just throw it away. And not knowing around the corner, your death is going to be required. That you're going to be summoned. Not knowing within a year or two, you're going to be summoned home. And you cannot stop it. Not knowing you maybe 3 years from now. It'll be you in that car accident. It'll be you with a stroke. It'll be you with a heart attack. Not knowing it'll be you with COVID. You don't know. We don't know. No one knows. Oh, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast. John 10. 17. Yes.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again.
You see, that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life. 18.
No man taketh it from me.
Amen. No man taketh it from me.
But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take
it
again.
Glory to God. Had power to lay it down, had power to take it again.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Look, when he stood there before Pilate, are you king of the Jews? Thou sayest. You know what that means? Thou sayest. In other words, you said right. You said right. Well, you just said you're right. Thou sayest. He just stood there. They said, crucify him! Crucify him! See, I see no fault in this man. We want him dead. My Lord, people, you think it's any different today? It's no different. People haven't changed. That's why the Bible says it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People have not changed. The same way Noah preaches hard out, okay? And they mocked Noah, and they jeered, they did everything. But when the flood came, the tune changed, though. It began to rain. The tune changed. Same thing we're doing today. We're warning you. We're letting know what's going to be. What's about to happen. Sit there, listen. Don't worry. Your tune will change when the time comes. That's just the way it is. That's human nature. Because I'm fine today. There's nothing wrong with me. I know I don't look to God. But once I get sick. Oh, God. God says he wants you when you're young and strong. Jesus laid down his life, and he had power to take it again. He laid it down to pay the debt that we owed. Okay? And thank God that life could not lie in the grave. Glory to God. Could not lie in the grave. He took it up again. What a blessing. What a blessing, brethren. Let us cherish what we have this morning. As we were commanded in the word of God to be steadfast and immovable, let us live this gospel. Too many people are going to church. Too many people going to church and have a false hope of heaven. A false hope. How sad. How sad. There are many places this morning, the drums are going in a feel-good spirit. Oh, it was a good service. It was a good service. And you went in dead and you go out dead. Let it not happen here, brethren. Otherwise, your soul will be in trouble with the living God. Let us all stand, please. We thank God he tore the bars away, and he's still in a saving business this morning. Though you may be behind prison doors, brother, he can unlock the doors and set you free. I'm talking about setting your spirit free. You don't have to remain incarcerated in a prison of the enemy. Right? God can set you free this morning, thank God. He can set you free. He can deliver your soul from the powers of sin. He can break the bands of sin, whatever has you bound in sin. Brother, God can deliver you this morning. The power of the resurrection.
Psalm 146.